I'm Brian.
And I am Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks.
At least last time I checked. We haven't changed the name yet, right?
No. Brian, I am fully back at it. My voice is completely returned to what it was before.
You're kicking and strong.
My energy has returned. We are in trouble.
Oh, crap, man. I'm glad you're back, man. Even last week, you seemed kind of bogged in the mud a little bit.
Yeah, but not that. I mean, like, it really, like, comparatively, woo. But, you know, so what I did was I started taking a bunch of, like, vitamin D and B12 along with some other, you know, other stuff, a lot of vitamin C. And that seems to have, like, just brought everything back up to where it's supposed to be.
Well, you said you might have been low on B.
Well, no, I definitely was, like, she did the blood work, and it was like I was, like, really low in vitamin D. But by the time I, like, got all the, you know, like, got the vitamin D supplements and all that kind of stuff, I kind of felt normal anyway. But,
you were probably eating pretty regular.
Yeah.
It's really important to get those minerals from food.
Right.
It's really important for you to have food intake to get, they call it a vitamin supplement for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to replace food. It's meant to supplement what you're already getting from food. Because some people who may not have had a gut biome check or anything like that may not be able to process certain vitamins very well, as Bear Grylls would say.
Well, and on that subject, here's something for you, Brian. Mm-hmm. I was reading a lot about the methylated vitamins. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's like a huge thing to do. For it, even if you have like some, well, if your biome's off, or if you don't know your biome's off, or if you're a diabetic, or if you're some kind of thing, that apparently is like a huge thing to do that might make some drastic changes in your health. What do you think?
Or do, well,
you know, do you know?
Before methylated vitamins, there was liquid vitamins, which really, if you want to get vitamins into your bloodstream at the highest level, you need to take them in a liquid form.
Okay.
Have you ever taken like a liquid vitamin?
I don't know.
It's like getting shot out of a cannon, Reggie. Like when you mix it in a little bit of orange juice and you drink down the orange juice, it's like the best legal boost you can get, because it goes right into your bloodstream. Like there's no breakdown moment. There's no working through binders, anything like that. It goes right into the bloodstream. And let me tell you, it'll put you up on your feet. So that might be an option as well.
Indeed.
You can buy them at, like, I think Rainbow Blossom, and GNC used to carry them, but for some reason they stopped carrying the liquid vitamins. I'm not really sure why.
Mm. But anyway, I thought that was interesting, but something like that. Cause right now I take like a one a day pill kind of thing, but it's nothing special. But there has been points in my life though where I've spent more money on vitamins and got like I guess you'd say higher quality type of stuff, and you could tell. Mm-hmm. You could definitely tell that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There was, I don't remember when I was working out a whole lot in my 20s. There was a particular one, I can't even remember what it was. When I switched to it though, it was like it took like 2 days, and all of a sudden I was like, I can feel different.
Yeah.
I was like, well, huh?
You kind of lead like, in your pencil.
Sorry. Yeah.
But my favorite vitamins are liquid gels or capsules. But I will say I'm currently taking a gummy vitamin, but it's a very high quality. Mm. And it's done a very good job. It's supposed to taste like blackberries, but it really tastes like sour candy.
Yeah, they never quite taste.
They never quite hit the, like, the strawberry is never quite strawberry.
No.
The schnozberries taste like schnozberries. But no, I mean, I'm glad you're taking vitamins, dude. That's a good thing.
Well, and I've always taken vitamins, but like the extra vitamin D, like I'm taking like, I think it's 5,000 units.
5,000 IUs?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Of D.
Triple your daily dose.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot, but like I was so low that, yeah, that's what she,
you for know. Sure.
Well, she actually said my doctor said take 2,000 units, but then when I was looking at some of this other stuff, they said, well, you need to take 5,000 units of vitamin D, and I thought, well, it ain't gonna hurt me if I take more.
No, because you're just gonna pee it out.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'll just take.
Well, and a lot of people think that your body can only process so many IUs of something. It's actually not true. We're all different. The reason that if you take a high IU version of a vitamin, especially if it's in a pill form,
so you get more out of it, you
lose a bunch of it,
yeah,
because it stays on the binders, yep, and it comes out of your body in waste. So if you're taking a higher quality of it, you probably are getting a better effect out of,
yeah,
it, right?
And they're so, like, they're like these, they look like liquid capsule type of things. But anyway, so yeah, I feel I'm feeling good now, man. It's pretty cool. I started my new class. It's a survey of Acts, so that's gonna be cool.
That's cool. I like Acts. That's a good book.
Yeah, and I mean, Acts is a good. I mean, it's one of those where it's not like not talked about in the church, but you know, everybody, your typical sermons revolve around like Romans,
John, Luke,
yeah, Matthew, Mark. I mean, like Acts, yeah, is really one of those that really people only really get into when they talk about the church.
Yeah.
But there's so much more in there than just, you know, than just the early church formation. Well,
that book is I call it a historic treasure trove. Like, you're getting into a lot of historical information that actually helps you vet out things that are actually real in the Bible, right?
And it was written in, like, it was written, like, you're talking maybe in the realm of, like, because Paul died they're around 60 to 67 AD or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it was written before that, you know, kind of thing. Oh. So you're talking really close. This is, I mean, we're talking church. Jesus rose, church starts, right? I mean, this is
legit.
This, yeah, is right there in that, right? And even in the beginning of Acts, that's what Luke is doing. he's kind of reporting the history of like Christ and the apostles and the our disciples and all that stuff and everything else. So he's going through the miracles that happen and all this kind of stuff. It's really cool, man. I mean, so I'm really excited to kind of like just have a period of time where I'm just dedicated to really studying the Acts. I think it's going to be cool. So yeah, that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
So along the Christian lines, I have to say this. Ugh,
okay. Lay it on me, dude.
What's the best? I can't think of the right word to use here. I am just kind of baffled.
Befuddled.
Befuddled would be a good one.
Yes.
Maybe even have contempt for these Trump prophecies that I've been seeing a lot of.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear you.
And there's like you said, there's a move. We were talking about this before we start. We recorded, but there's a, like a movie-ish type of thing. There's a couple of other long format videos. There's a lot of shorts. There's a lot of this, a lot of that about the Trump prophecies. Now, okay, we've spoke about spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. So and everybody should know I'm kind of leaning towards a cessationist, but I'm not really, you know, I haven't really made up. It's not really that important to me to where I'm gonna claim anything definite, but I will say that I've had very bad experiences with quote unquote prophets, and they've actually done damage to my family. And I would say that anytime I see some kind of here is this prophecy about, you know, whatever, Mickey Mouse or whatever, my automatic first reaction is you are full of garbage.
Well, so, my first response is to be prophetic is not impossible. To be a prophecy of God is honestly kind of ridiculous, right? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I'll reiterate, the office of apostle, the office of a prophet, those are no longer exist.
That's right.
If they existed, the canon would still be open and you could not say that the Bible is complete. Now, there's a lot to that, but
actually it's very simple. It's not a lot to it, man. If you're a prophet, if you're an apostle, that means your story has not been written. That would mean that the Bible is incomplete. The Bible is a complete book.
There's more needed from God's word.
Yeah.
You need more than what's actually in scripture. And that means we need prophets, but we don't. The canon is complete. It is sufficient. There is no, God does no need for a prophet in 2024. Can you speak in a prophetic manner? Yes. Can you get a word to someone that is prophetic? Yes.
Am I ignorant enough to believe that God does not move us in ways that carries prophetic words from him to others? Yes. Am I a prophet? No.
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 And I, yeah. I and I'll say this. You do, there's not any, like, even let's see, one of the most famous guys that I can just come off the top of my head, Kim Clement, right? Was this prophet guy. But he still did not all of his prophecies were true. The Bible's clear when it says you'll know a false prophet when they speak prophecy that is not true. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying, look, okay, let me back this up. I don't think Kim Clement was like intentionally being a division or like a douche. Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because I never, obviously, he died long, well, it's been a long time now. I don't know, but I will say that, you know, I don't buy into that stuff. Now, I think a lot of this, look, I think a lot of people are searching for such validation for the, I guess, rescue, if you want to say, from an agenda that is appalling, that they're looking for this, I don't know, divine revelation that this other way is the way, and the, you know, this kind of thing. And to me, that's what this seems like. It's like a grasp at this quote unquote validation or something like that. But I just would caution anybody in this stuff. What do you think, Brian? Lay it on me, bro.
I would say that when you take on, and I have a little harsher look at this.
That's good. I want to hear it.
When you take on the role of prophet, you are intentionally misguiding people into believing that somehow your connection to Christ, to God, to the Trinity is stronger than others. And it is very clear that the Bible is a full story, that the apostle and prophet is no longer a thing. And I think that anyone who is worth their salt and has read their Bible and has done any kind of studying knows that. And anyone who would attempt to change what God has decreed as finished in order to manipulate people or to manipulate a situation or to make themselves seem to be more moral than they actually are is utter nonsense.
This goes back to this whole, like, you're not a Christian unless you speak in tongues or unless you can do this or that or all this. No, this goes back to this. Okay. Prophecy is not, it is a spiritual gift, but it is not an office that is held today.
Yes.
You are not necessarily, if you're speaking, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're telling somebody the future of what will happen, and you're telling these people something like that, I'm just, 9 times out of 10, that's a false prophecy. God does not deal, I don't see anywhere in scripture where that's exemplified, right? I see a lot of times where God speaks something that guides the path a certain way.
Yes.
Or that it foretells Christ coming down to be the Messiah in the Old Testament. But it's not saying, but really beyond that, there's no foretelling of like that. I might be missing something here. I'm just, cause this was a last minute thing that I thought.
Well, you're not missing something. And here's why you're not missing something. Right. All right. I'll give you an example. I recently changed careers. Now, I wanted a prophetic word from God to tell me or a prophetic sign from God that I was making the right choice. So when I started to make this change, I told God, I said, you know the opportunity that I'm looking for. I need you to put that in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'm not smart enough or wise enough to catch it myself.
Exactly.
And he did.
That's it.
But if I was to stand up and go, oh, I prophesied that this job was coming, and I prophesied that, that's just me trying to make myself look good. I was in a weakened state, and I went before Christ and said, please, I can't find it, and I don't know what to do.
And we all get there, dude.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the difference between...
Hold on. I have a word for you.
Are you going to prophesy about our sponsor?
No.
Okay.
That was a good one, though.
I know.
Damn.
I beat you to the punch. I'm sorry.
Mother trucker.
It is very rare that I best you, Reggie. It's very rare.
That was a good one.
And that was a good one.
Sponsor?
Take it away.
Picture this, Brian. You're out with the fellas, and you get a call from mom. What's that, mom? Your printer's acting up again? I'll be right there.
Reggie, we all love mom. But wouldn't it be great if just this once we could send someone in your place?
Sure would.
At Edwards Managed Technology Computer Consulting, rest assured that they'll take care of mom, dad, brother, sister, and even that one aunt with all the cats.
Don't feel bad sending your loved ones to voicemail. Just make sure you text them about Edwards Managed Consulting. They fix computers, printers, and so much more.
Visit www.emtcc.net to make an appointment or give us a call at 1-888-551-2770. Mention R&B Talks for your 10% off your appointment. Remote and on-site options available.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Edwards.
All right, Reggie. So on this prophecy thing.
Yeah.
I have a theory about this, and I was thinking about this earlier this week, and I wanted to call you, but I was like, no, he's probably in class. I think that things like this, like the Trump prophecy and blah, blah, I believe that that is what makes men struggle with the difference between being a man of faith and actually being a Christian. Because I think there's a distinct difference between the two. To be Christ-like is to be a Christian. To be a man of faith is to believe in something, but not be a defined thing, right? Sometimes we know we believe in something, but we don't know exactly what that is. And I think that gels for us when we become part of a group of believers, right? But when we come out, when stuff like this comes out, man, I feel like it just pours salt on everything we do as Christians. Every conversation we have, every communication we have with someone, I believe it just literally, it just pours salt on it, man. It just kills it.
Here's an example. I've been to a couple of these healers that come through, right? Ooh, because you got to understand, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. So,
tent
so,
preachers? Yeah, gotcha.
Well, no. Some of the tent preachers are actually really good.
They're actually really good, yeah.
But when they come through and they label themselves, we have a healing ministry, right? And you get these, I don't know, man. There's some people that are really, really, really hurting, and they really need something, and they're absolutely looking for that.
They want to believe.
But when right? I've seen these things, though, where they force this reaction a certain way. It's a manipulative thing. And if you're not cognitive of that stuff, you can really get wrapped up in the fervor of it, right? Yeah. But it ends up doing damage to faith and to the reality of the universe that is today. Like, what, you can't just pull somebody up out of a wheelchair and go walk, and then they don't walk, and they're like, well, you will later or something. I mean,
walk,
you know,
sometime like, this week.
I don't know. So anyway, I guess I'm just saying, like,
well, what's worse is the ones where they go walk and they don't walk. And they're like, you don't believe enough.
Yeah, that's nonsense. But get back to it. Look, Trump, what I, the other part about this that I find appalling is that politics is not the answer to anything. We're not, that is not, Trump is not your answer for a better way of life or for doing anything. Christ is. You know, politics and legislation about doing this and this and this and this is not the answer for making your life better. Christ is. It's not that, that for a Christian, that, that is it. Now, I say that with the full intention of saying that I think the church has done a poor job of like actually being involved in political situations. I think that we've pulled back too much in the Christian church and said, oh, we can't offend our congregations. We don't want to do this. We don't want to say, no, look, this is our government that we play a part in. We're a republic of states. We have, we vote. We should actually speak to this, to the actual voting body about what the church, what Christ says about these certain things. That should be clear. That should be thing. I mean, and you know, there's laws against public preachers and stuff saying certain things about a candidate or whatever. I believe, if I remember this correctly, when I was involved in some of the other ministries I was in. But at the same token, man, you can't shy away from speaking to political matters as a Christian, like leader, a pastor, preacher. So what I guess I've said, look, politics is a circus. It's if anybody looks around today and says, oh, our system is, it so works. You're looking at something different than I am. It's really, we need to put our focus into how we are being Christ-like. Let that influence our community and let our communities influence the broader states of the union. So that's my piece on all this crap. Trump is Trump. And I'm still not convinced he's anything. I'm just, you know, I just get a little fed up with like these Christians and their Trump almost worship kind of nonsense. And I think it's crap.
Well, so, if we could guide somebody in the Bible, Reggie, to read about prophecy and the truth of prophecy and the apostles, what would be a great location in the Bible to send them, sir? You are a Bible scholar. I would like to know your answer.
Well, okay, look, the Daniel and Isaiah are two hugely prophetic people who were prophets in the Old Testament that pointed towards the Messiah. Okay. So that gives you an example of kind of how the prophets actually worked when there was some prophecy happening. Okay. Clearly that is who you know, and you got the minor prophets that are after that, but I mean, the big ones are Daniel and Isaiah. When you get into the New Testament though, you really need to see what Jesus says. He points back to the prophets. He points back to scripture all the time. He knows the scripture better than the Pharisees and everything. He points back to that. And he even tells people, I am. And that's really what he says. I am. And that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is going to lead the way toward salvation. And it's through him and through him only that salvation is. So you look at what the teachings of Jesus versus how the prophets spoke about him, and you get an idea about prophecy. Okay. In the New Testament, though, and I'm trying to remember if there was a specific thing about, because I think most of the time when it talks about prophecy in the New Testament, when the apostles are doing miracles and stuff on their own, when they're spreading the message of Christ, it just says they spoke prophecy. It doesn't really give you details into that stuff. And I'm trying to remember like some verses or whatever. So, I mean, I think the idea here is that Christ sealed this prophetic thing. Like he's the beginning and the end. That's really where prophecy is. It lies in the life, death, and resurrection and the return of Jesus.
Let's not forget the most telling fact. Jesus chose his apostles. Right? Well, guess what? Jesus is at his Father's side. He ain't down here picking apostles. So I don't think that's really your call, right?
Yeah, no. Any so
that's here's why the chosen, right?
You have 12, and even after, so after Jesus was ascended into heaven, right? You had only 11. What did they do? They filled that 12th seat with Matthias.
They did.
And they voted on that to kind of say, hey, they had two guys, and I think it was Barnabas and Matthias, I believe, are the two. Maybe I got that wrong, but anyway, and they did. And then Matthias became the 12, but they needed 12. They still had 12. 12 is representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. So they knew that.
But beyond that,
there's not any more.
There's not any more.
No.
Right.
Even Paul. Paul was like, he came, you know, he came after all this stuff. I mean, man, Paul, and look at what he did, right? And look, here's the thing. I would love to be able to have like accurate, like be there on the, like sitting in the crowd, listening to Paul preach and stuff and writing these letters and everything, but we don't, we just have the Bible. We just know what the Bible says. And we trust the Bible because it's a historical document that is true. So anyway,
that it is.
we talked a little bit about Robert, Kennedy Jr. last week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I thought it was prudent to kind of look at a little bit about what I wanted to find out, because I'm not anti-Trump. I'm not that guy. I'm definitely anti-Biden. So there's that. But what's confusing for me at this political stage is like, I don't really like Trump though.
But I feel like I'm caught in the worst game of Stretch Armstrong ever.
But it's like,
I don't want to be pulled in either direction, but they're pulling me and I hate it.
What I wanted to do was find out kind of what some of the things Trump was, what he said he wanted to do.
Okay.
Okay. So I kind of made some notes, and I referenced, I don't know how many articles here, just to make sure the list wasn't like weird or anything. But what he wants to do. He wants to dismantle the deep state. So he said that.
Yeah.
And that's also something he said during his first presidency, which he
kind of did a little bit.
But he did. It was like almost there, but not quite. Right. And if you're not look, there's several different classifications of what deep state, and especially because of the way the media has reported on this, you're going to find some confusion with that. But I'm just going to summarize this a little bit. Immediately stop the invasion of the southern border. So he was like very, he definitely says in this, if he gets that's immediately what he's going to do. There's what he called a massive deportation exercise or something, is what he said. Tariffs on imports. So he was going to start doing some import tariffs to kind of help that situation.
He had China under control for sure.
He even said before he was elected, he was going to stop the Ukraine-Russia war with foreign policy. And look, I'll say this, during his first term, he did more foreign policy than I think any other president done in a long time. I mean, with Korea, with China, with a couple of different things. I mean, he was like, he made some vast headways into these things that a lot of presidents before him didn't do.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that was because, again, he's not a politician. So there wasn't any give and take, right? It was, hey, we're America. This is what's best for us. This is a business, right? We have to be profitable. And that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would agree.
Yeah. No, the next one was pass legislation that is specifically says there's only two genders. Prohibit the hormonal or surgical transition for minors in all 50 states. Couldn't agree with that anymore.
Absolutely. For sure. Support that 100%.
He wants to move towards, he said he wants America to have the lowest cost of energy in the world.
And we were heading that way.
So he's going to move, he wants to do that and kind of remove all the all this Biden administration stuff with green stuff and electric stuff and all this stuff. He's going to get rid of all that. He wants to eliminate the Department of Education. This one's interesting. Okay, so he wants to eliminate the Department of Education, abolish tenure, adopt merit pay, allow direct election of principals by parents, cut funding to any school with vaccine or mask mandates, and allow trained teachers to conceal carry. So those are there's few things I jotted down from. There's more to that, but like he even wants to put like more patriotism in stuff or something. And I don't know. There's like a whole bunch of things with education.
Well, here's the problem. And let's go back to the one you talked about, trained teachers concealing and carrying.
Yep.
Here's why I think that's necessary. Not because I think teachers should carry guns. I'll be honest with you. Guns are so easy to get nowadays, legally or illegally. If somebody wants one, they're going to get one, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop them. Kids are in a heightened state of mental health crisis right now. And a lot of those kids are a danger to the other kids that they're around. And that is not something that I want to say out loud. I never thought the day would actually come where I would feel like I had to say that. Right. And it's not conspiratorial. It's not wild fantasies. We watch it on television and in the news every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's got to be someone present at all times that can protect or even attempt to protect our kids. And that's just a very painful, harsh, necessary truth.
Yeah. I know. And it is sad, but you know, that's just... Ugh, I hate it. Now, I mean, my kids aren't in public schools, so I don't really have a dog in that fight right now. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels sad, man.
Mine are.
I know you are.
I worry about my kids every day. I worry about what they're going to go to school and see, what could happen while they're there. There have been gun threats that have been called into school. And it used to be, it's like the bomb threats you used to get called in when you were a kid. That was some dumb kid trying to get everybody out of class. That's not what it is today.
No.
Right?
No, totally isn't.
And it's tragic and it's heartbreaking. And it's certainly something I don't like.
Yeah.
But it's just a harsh reality, right? It's the same. I honestly believe that there should be trained conceal and carry people everywhere. Just because,
you know, the thing is, like, what I think is important, and this is why I'm avid into like bringing the firearm classes back into the schools, so that, you know, not only is gun safety taught to everybody, because there's enough guns, everybody should understand what gun safety is.
Gun safety is not difficult.
It's not, but it's like there are things that you need to know about firearms. And I think it's critical for anybody. I mean, you know, I find it just heart-wrenching when you have these kids or something pick up a firearm and don't know, really don't understand the danger of that. And I think the only way you're going to do that is if you have some training involved.
The first piece of firearm safety I was ever taught was, if you pull the trigger, remember you can't call it back.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done.
Done.
Whatever you're doing is done. So you need to be willing to realize and understand that once you do that, you've changed it forever. Yeah, it doesn't go away.
Well, it's like, don't, you know, you never point a firearm at someone unless you're going to pull the trigger at someone. Doesn't matter if it's loaded, unloaded, or not. You never do that, yep. Right? When you're at, you always, if you're at a range or something, you know, you keep it like, unloaded kind of thing when you're sitting at the line. And this is like during some of the competitions and stuff, your firearm's sitting there, but you've got a flag in it to show that the chamber's empty. You got your magazine sitting next to there. It's open and everything. And you have to do that or else you're disqualified. Like it's like you know, because you have to take every measure to make sure everything is controlled and as safe as it can be. you don't even, you know, it's just anyway. So yeah, I'm avid for all that. So the next one was send the National Guard to places like Chicago to solve these violent places. Like just a freaking, we're going to throw in a bunch of stuff. And, you know, those gangs are going to now be dealing with the National Guard instead of just anybody else. So
here's the problem though. Some of those gangs are better organized than our military.
But I would say not military in general. I don't know. The National Guard's can be pretty. Well, okay.
What I mean by saying that is not that they're better trained. What I mean by is
their coordination.
Their coordination and also the fact that they know the terrain. They know their city. It's a dangerous thing even to send the National Guard into a situation like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that. I mean, I think
I don't mean they're better trained than our military. No. There's nobody better trained than our military. But it's no different than sending RUS into the desert to fight ISIS, who has dug tunnels and has all this preparation that's going to may not necessarily make them better at the fight, but it makes them harder to fight.
Yeah, agreed.
Does that make sense?
Agreed. And he also was talking about law enforcement reforms and stuff about, you know, helping police officers be able to do what they need to do and, you know, that kind of thing. So that was just some of them. There's a lot more, but I found those particularly interesting when I was going through some articles this week. You know, I think that this is like completely the antithesis of the Biden agenda. Completely. So
antithesis is not a strong enough word. Well, and here's the thing, too. I remember when the U.S. military was revered worldwide. We are still the greatest military in the world, but the current administration has done a really good job at staining that reputation.
I would say so.
Which is why I think ISIS went into Russia and killed 40-plus people and blew up an airport and did all this. They've become so emboldened that they feel like they can go anywhere they want and do whatever they want. They've attacked us. They've attacked Russia. They're going after major powers in the world with what I will very seriously refer to as much gusto.
So we had a thing this week, moving on to a different. I would like to say, if there was there's a great example of how the legacy dinosaur media that is needs to be just trashed has reported something appallingly agenda driven nonsense. And that's with this whole Trump bloodbath thing.
Oh my God,
dude, are you kidding me?
So here's what's happening. All right. And I've noticed this and it's been a trend. All right. Trump started dominating in all of the
polls.
Yeah. Started winning all of the primaries, right? Well, then they trotted the Russia hoax back out, which had failed immediately, right?
Yeah.
Well, did you see what happened the other day? Who went trotting on to CNN? Blasey Ford went on to CNN and on to some podcasts. And it was wickedly obvious that it was a play to make the Republican Party conservatives look evil. There was no reason for her to come back out. She lost. She knows she lost.
Yeah.
This is not me bragging. This is the truth. She lost. She lost what she was trying to do. She didn't get what she wanted. They're grasping at straws right now. And I'm going to tell you something else. We were talking about the deep state. I believe that a lot of our media is a part of the deep state.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I believe that
they're led by the deep state.
I believe that what you're seeing right now is the deep state. And this is not paranoid conspiracy talk. This is the truth. A lot of the deep state right now is in a panic. And they're pushing these old narratives to try to distract.
Okay. Here's what you're exactly. I'm with you exactly with this. What I see coming is another manufactured crisis.
Absolutely.
That changes the election, how the election is actually, you know, done. I don't see how they're going to be able to do anything else except that, right? That create something.
I hate to say it, but I feel like they're going to go for some other kind of lockdown.
They have to. I mean, like, what else are they going to do, right? I mean,
the only way that you can recreate the circumstances with which Biden got elected is recreate the circumstances with which Biden got elected.
Because you need to have enough way to manipulate the election without being caught. And the only way you can do that is why you have like people that have to stay back. They have to do this. They have to stay at home, whatever. That's the only way you can do that. Right. So yeah. So this whole, whenever I see these narratives like this, and so interesting enough, Russell Brand's like one of my favorite podcasts
They tried to put him in the dirt too.
They did.
And they lost big time.
Now look, Russell Brand, dude. Well, I knew Russell Brand when he was like a comedian. Like, I mean, whoa, that dude was nuts. But now he's going to church, you know, and he's like one of the people, he's almost got 7 million subscribers to his YouTube channel. Right. And he's on Rumble too. And he's got some there. Right. But it's like this dude, Russell's killing it, dude, as far as like, and he is so articulate with how he presents things. And I don't know. So I'm going to actually put his bloodbath narrative thing in the bottom. So what he did in the video, he shows the full clip of what Trump was talking about with tariffs and everything else. He shows the full clip. Then he goes, okay, now look, here's what the legacy media reported. And so he just shows this. They cut it off. Right at that, and he just says like one sentence, like, oh my gosh.
They turned a 2.5 minute statement into a 10 second blurb in order to use it as a weapon.
That is deliberate manipulation. So, yeah. So that's exactly what they do though. And that's what this is what I'm not mad at them for doing this. Cause I think that of course you would do that if you're trying to make a play for an agenda. What I get mad at is the people that just listen to it and take it as legit. That's what I get mad at is the people, our peer group, dude, who just don't have the sense to go, oh,
again,
really? Yeah. They went, well, why am I still watching this channel? Why don't they ask that question?
What is this? The sequel?
I don't know. So anyway,
well, I'll tell you what, and there's a few people out there that if you listen to them, there's some really great truths coming out of them. Russell Brand would be one. Jordan Peterson would be one. Jocko Willink will be one, but another one that I really feel like is strongly representing some truth in all this is, you know, Megyn Kelly. Now, I'm not a Megyn Kelly fan, but I've been trying really hard to listen to a lot of what she says.
Okay.
She's a sharply intelligent person who is seeing through the veneer of what they're trying to do. And she is reporting on some things. And if you watch, man, I encourage anybody to go on and watch any of her current episodes. She really has a sharp eye for the garbage that's going on.
Yeah.
And she's really gone after these inconsistencies and inequities and lies really hard. Another one would be Vaughty Baucham. Believe it or not, I mean, he's not a political guy at all. But if you're looking for some biblical truth to help guide you through the garbage that's going on right now, that man is wickedly intelligent and wickedly wise. Well, and what a just a great to listen to him speak about all of the things that are churning up right now. It gives me hope.
A lot of people don't know this about Vaughty Baucham. He studied sociology.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, that dude. No, I mean, he applies that. Like if you, his book, I can't think of the name of the book. I read it. Like I bought it. I pre-ordered the damn thing and got it and read it front to back. It's freaking brilliant. Thomas Sowell.
Oh yeah.
Another voice of reason.
Ben Shapiro.
Sometimes
he drives me crazy, but from time to time he speaks some truth, man.
I don't dislike or like Ben Shapiro. I think that he's really sharp. I think that dude knows his stuff for sure.
Yeah, he don't go into a fight without a weapon sharp.
No, I mean, but I just sometimes the way things are approached is a little not kind of how I would do it. But that's look, that's, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things, though. I mean, like, you know, like this whole, I don't know. It's like once you get to a certain level in echelon of personalities or whatever business or whatever, like Daily Wire level type of stuff. I don't know, man. There's some of the stuff that goes on. You're just like, okay, that's just corporate nonsense or something.
Well, I mean, he's running a business, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but that doesn't change the fact that guys like Matt Walsh, that they're really trying to speak truth. Matt Walsh is a man of faith. He's a Christian, and he speaks a lot of truth. He speaks from a very Christian-based, Christian strength perspective, right? But I do agree with you. There are sometimes when I'll be watching something from the Daily Wire, and I can kind of just smell we're trying to get subscribers. Right?
Yeah, I think there's sometimes there's a bandwagon that they go on, and I'm like, okay, well, all right, because not everything is so black and white, man. It's not always left versus right either. There's some things that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, and there are things that is really not that big a deal either, right?
Well, there's some things that you can't break down to left or right.
No, there's not. But
morality is not left or right. It's just morality. To say that I'm conservative doesn't make me right or left. It makes me moral. It makes me want to have a moral center. It doesn't make me right or left. Right? I'm still an American, and I still believe that if you come to this country, dude, if you want to identify as a purple dragon, do it.
But I won't do that.
But I'm not going to do it with you. No. But I still believe that, dude, we're a free country. If you want to tell everybody you're a purple dragon, dude, tell everybody you're a purple dragon.
But this goes back to the prophecy thing. We live in a reality that is rooted in God's vision of what he designed the whole universe for. That's really where we should ground ourselves in that. Like it's like we don't have to have Gandalf the Christian preacher kind of thing going on. We don't. Doesn't need to be there. There's enough like freaking majesty in the universe that just expounds upon the greatness of God that we don't need like some kind of mystical preacher like shooting fireballs out of his
said this before. I think this goes back to, you know, and I've said this to many of the people that are in my church and many people that I've talked to that are Christians. I believe that the reason that we don't see the miracles that are in front of us is we become jaded because we're expecting these massive world-changing miracles. Let me be clear. We're spinning in a universe with no strings. The sun comes up and goes down every day like clockwork. We are living, breathing creatures who are wonderfully made. But I think we've become so jaded to the majesty of the world that God gave us that we are starting to search for things that are just not necessary. Let me be clear. And I'm going to say this, and you may or may not agree, Reggie, but there is no gray area. There's black and white. You know where gray area comes from? Gray area comes from people who don't want to deal in truth or lie. Well, I don't like the truth and I don't like the lie. I don't want to recognize good, bad, right, and wrong. So I'm going to make my own area.
Okay. Let me put that in a biblical perspective. The key thing there is when Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out.
Yeah.
He's kind of saying there's not gray. You're either on or you're off.
Yeah.
You're with me or you're not. So I think biblically speaking, yeah, there's light and there's dark. There's not like a rosy thing in the middle. It's light and dark. Absolutely. Dude. Right.
There's the truth and there's the lie.
Yeah.
There's the right and there's the wrong.
Cause keep in mind the deception and manipulation is the tool of Satan. Like that's what Lucifer uses most of all. He does not lie to you, but he'll tell you something in a way that would make you wonder about something and over here a little bit or there, or push you towards this way. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Because he can't deny Christ.
No. Satan can't create anything.
No.
All he can do is damage God's creation.
Well, not
he can't create blessings for his people.
No.
He can't create miracles for his people. That's not what he's capable of doing. And what I mean when I say that, I mean this. The earth is the devil's playground, but let's not forget who built the playground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He does nothing without God allowing it to happen. Even in his utmost form of power where he's at, he will never be allowed to do anything that God will not allow him to do. That is how weak Satan is.
Okay. I just can't look. Here's the bottom line. I can't imagine walking around in 2024, looking at everything we have, all the knowledge we have, all the questions that we cannot answer still from a scientific perspective or not, philosophical perspective, especially that, I mean, like, wow, if you look at philosophy over the years, it's just, that's all over the place.
Different ballgame, right?
And you just deny all this stuff, and you just say, "Look, no, there's no God, there's nothing else." I can't imagine existing that way. That just doesn't make logically any sense to me. But I will say this: the election, we're talking about it a lot because it's just everywhere.
Yeah, so it's all over.
It's kind of hard to talk about current events if you're
not talking about politics.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not fearful of mm-hmm. anything. Like I really don't. It really doesn't bother me.
I'm a man of faith. If at the end, the reward is the reward, why would I be afraid?
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, whatever, but it doesn't mean I don't care about the world we live in or the people around me or the state of the country that we live in. I mean, I care about that stuff. And I'm going to do what I can to make those things better. But, you know, I think that it's politics isn't the answer for me. It's just, it's always about Christ and the gospel message and that changing my life, my family's life, the community and everybody. And that's what I'm all about, man. I mean, so, yeah. On another topic.
Lay it on me, homie.
I do not care that Candace Owens got let go of Daily Wire. Not one bit.
I didn't know she got let go.
Yeah.
That's how disconnected I am from that.
Yeah. Well, dude, it popped up everywhere.
So what was the quote unquote reason?
I don't know.
Do we know?
No. I mean, like
I'll have to look into it just because I'm curious.
Well, not because apparently it's her view on the Israel-Palestine thing, right?
Yeah. Well, but I think you got to really, that's where I think political interferes with the freedom of speech in the sense that let's take a hard look at that. Who is the main personality at the Daily Wire? If she disagrees with the main personality of the Daily Wire, I don't see that she would last very long. Right.
But see, it is pretty hypocritical of that though. But yeah, I would say that
it is.
You're not the personality that Candace Owens is that brings in that much revenue for the Daily Wire without there having been some goat negotiations about some things and stuff like that.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, like I'm just like, look, I wish Candy knows it's the best. It's not that.
She's going to be successful.
Yeah. I'm not anti-Candy. Okay. Let me preface this. I like Candy. So I'm not saying that, but like, I just don't care if she's at the Daily Wire or not. Like, people who look at that and are like shocked or whatever. You just don't understand how that corporate conversation probably happened and how there was like probably a whole bunch of conversations behind the doors that there was a lot of money involved and everything else. You don't understand that there's probably a lot of zeros involved in this whole conversation.
Yeah.
She's going to be just fine. I mean, she's.
Yeah, and I would say that if she was under contract and she was let go, they probably had to pay her out.
Mm-hmm.
Which means she probably got a whole lot of money. So she didn't walk away hurting.
She's not going to be hurt anyway.
She's one of the most famous conservative voices out there right now.
Right. I mean, dude, when she was pregnant, though, it cracked me up. She was like on fire when she was pregnant like it was like she, there was no holes barred. Yeah. It was like fangs coming out and everything.
Oh yeah, she wasn't hearing it, dude.
No,
she wasn't hearing it, and I loved it. Some of that stuff she did, some of those college tours that she did, where she had some of those kids jump up there that wanted to challenge her. Oh, she was shovel in hand, ready to bury somebody. Like it was impressive to watch.
It was, dude. I was like, you go, girl, man. That's awesome.
You get them.
And I will say, like, another guy I admire a little bit in what he does is Charlie Kirk, who goes to the campuses and does all that stuff. Man, he gets into it. I mean, and he has like death threats all the time.
I think Turning Point USA, for all intensive purposes, is an amazing organization. I think that Charlie Kirk has, and I would be willing to gamble that's probably where Candace will land.
Well, yeah, likely.
Because her and Charlie Kirk are really good friends, and they are very much on the same page about a lot of things. But I mean, Charlie Kirk has really hung his shingle out there and taken some brutal blowback, but stood strong. Like, you know, and I'm not comparing myself to Charlie Kirk, but I sort of see myself in that same light. And I think I'm very blessed because I am not afraid to tell anybody what I believe or why I believe it. And I'm not afraid to have that conversation. Win, lose, or draw. If I walk away on top or I walk away right where I was before, I'm still going to talk to you about that. I'm still going to tell you what I think is right. I'm still going to tell you. And don't think I'm wearing blinders. I see the issues in the Western church today. I see the issues with things like prosperity gospel and the disillusionment within the Bible and the preachers that are out there changing it.
Yeah. Forming it into their own agenda.
And I could run down a mile long list of the things that I've seen. But I feel like Charlie Kirk is that guy. I'm going to tell you what I think and I believe. I'm going to try to have a conversation with you until you get combative. And then if you want me to go to that level of combativeness with you, I'll go there. But I don't really want to. I'd really rather have a rational conversation. Honestly, man, he reminds me a lot of you. Like you're not a nat. I mean, and look, I've known you for a long time now, Reggie. You're not a combative guy by any stretch of the imaginations. I don't think in all the years I've known you, I've ever seen you intentionally become combative about something.
No,
but I've also seen you stand your ground aggressively and say, yeah, I'm not moving.
No.
Right. And that's, I have a great admiration for those type of people because I feel like they take a beating far beyond what the normal person will take.
The problem is when you're like that, and this is my, and I feel this, in order to be that way, you have to be passionate about whatever it is. Okay. And a lot of times when I've done that has been, you know, thankfully it's been passionate about like the message of the gospel.
Yeah.
Or it has been things like, you know, minor attracted persons.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Well, just,
you know,
utter freaking nonsense, man.
But I guess where I'm getting at, there are things that it is worthy of being steadfast and bold and just ferocious and defending. And you got to know what those things that aren't. Because even in the Christian faith, here's my one I differ from some. I will not stand on a hill about creation and die on it. I don't, because I think there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of things that can be talked about the creation story and interpret it in a lot of different ways. I find it fascinating, but I definitely don't think that there's like this, it's a hard and fast thing. It's got to be exactly this or that or that. Some people do, but like for me, that's just one biblical thing for me that I don't have a hill to stand on that one. I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think it's so awesome to like think of and digest and like research and pick apart and talk to like, whether it be like a geologist or an astrophysicist or something like that. And you get all this stuff. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, as long as we're saying, God created the universe.
Yeah.
Well, it's I'm really okay, you know?
It's like the new earth, old earth argument. Is it a fascinating subject to kind of go over and read about? Does it make any difference to my faith at all? No.
Well, this is the thing. You have people like Ken Ham and stuff who will say, yes, it's critical for understanding the gospel that it is a young earth thing, that it is da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, maybe. But again, it's still not a hill that I'm willing to die.
Well, because for me, the truth is this. God created the universe. God created the earth. God created us.
And we know, look.
Jesus died to save our lives. I gave my life to Christ.
Yeah.
I'm going to live according to, and I'm not going to live perfectly.
Well,
I will openly admit this, and anybody that sees this knows me. I'm not one that's ever going to stand here and be like, I am the holy moral center. I am a cad on my best days sometimes, right? But I'm still working towards being a better man because of the calling of Christ in my life. And it doesn't matter whether it's new earth, old earth. I don't care if the earth's 50 million years old or if it's 50 days old.
Well, we're going to do an episode on creation. I think it might span a couple of them because it's such a large topic, but it won't be one of those where we just have this definite, is the way it is. But what we haven't talked about that much.
At least I hope I'm going to be here.
You are.
Is there something I don't know? Are you going to Daily Wire me, bro? I'm feeling saucy today, Reggie.
I know. Hey, look, bring it. So we have I want to talk about creation theories and those various things and bring about some of the other topics to that. I've had the fortunate experience to have known some very well-known creationists and stuff that I've under their tutelage a little bit in there and there. So that's been fantastic, to know that. And, we both know an author that did a thing on the gap theory. So, I mean, there's that. Of course I have his book that I read. There's a wealth of things that we can talk about there, but it's not going to be one of those things where we're going to say this is the way. No,
you must believe this.
Yeah. So, all right, brother.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw something new out there today, Reggie. I want you to post, subscribe. But if you have any prayer requests, send them out, man. I think this is a very important time. And I think prayer is a super powerful thing. The last few months in my life have been a lesson in prayer. And humbling myself before God and asking for blessings and getting them. I am as guilty as anybody of not recognizing as often as I should that I have had blessings in my life that are more very powerful, but they came through prayer. So if you got a prayer request, send a prayer request. I mean, whatever it may be, if you're struggling with something or you just need some wisdom and some help and somebody to throw your name up and ask for God's intervention, man, I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to be someone who believes truly in what prayer can do. So follow, high five, but definitely subscribe. We need the subscribes. But yeah, prayer requests, all those things. Anything else, Reg?
No. I mean, okay, one quick thing. I'm still getting the video videography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're total amateurs. So you know, when I go take these videos and I have to spend all this time poking around doing color corrections and color grading, I do it wrong and I'm not very good at it. So that's why these look different. And because I'm always trying different stuff to see what works and what doesn't. So
if we're green right now, We're sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying. It's just not, you know, it's just until we get to a certain spot where we can actually have someone who knows what they're doing.
Dude, you need to understand something. If we're talking technology, Reggie is Dr. Spock from the Starship Enterprise compared to me. I still type like this.
Yeah, no. It's a whole other genre, like, you know, of things. So that's why these look different. I mean, I'm still trying different things with the lights.
We're still experimenting.
Temperatures of lights and stuff. And eventually we want to move to a different place and all that kind of stuff. So that's it. That's really it. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff like Brian suggested.
Yeah.
We're R&B Talks.
See you
later.
Bye.